We have a very special guest with us, and her name is Sarah Stites. And Sarah is the programming director of IO, and IO is a part of Fund for Armenian Relief, FAR, the aid organization which our diocese began after the earthquake in Armenia. And it is a great privilege for me to introduce and invite Sarah to speak and give the reflection today, along with some information about what FAR does and what her life is like in Armenia, where she's lived for almost 7 years. And it's a great privilege for us as well. Sarah is a unique person in that a lot of times in the development and the nonprofit world, you either get professional people who know what they're doing in the nonprofit and development world, or you get faithful Christians. Sarah is both of those things, as you would want and pray for the Armenian Church's development wing. So we're very happy to have Sarah come forward. I was at first nervous that Santa Claus and Sarah Stites were coming to town on the same Sunday. I thought there might be a conflict, but I thought of it, and I thought the two have a couple things in common. First of all, they flew from across the world to come out to talk to us. That's a good thing, because Sarah lives in Armenia. Secondly, as you know from a couple of sermons, Santa Claus is Saint Nicholas. Saint Nicholas is a contemporary of Gregory the Illuminator, way back. The bishop of Myra in part of what is now Turkey, back then Greek, Macedonian. And what did Saint Nicholas do, and why did we start all of this gift giving? Because he had a great heart for the disadvantaged and the poor. And he simply passed out gifts and put gold coins in people's chimneys and for those that were the most disadvantaged at the time. And that's where all of that began. And I think, you know, Sarah does her humble best to do the same thing in Armenia, and she works with a lot of folks who are disadvantaged, but she does it with grace and with joy, and so therefore it is a treat to have Sarah Stites come forward and offer the reflection today. Close to the microphone. Okay, yeah.
Can you all hear me all right? Perfect. Yesterday, December 7th, we commemorated the 36th anniversary of the massive earthquake that decimated Gyumri, the city I've called home for more than 6 years now. When I first moved to Gyumri as a Birthright Armenia volunteer from a comfortable suburb of Washington, D.C., I must admit, I didn't know much about Armenia's history at all, let alone the story of the earthquake. After several weeks of living there, I realized that no family had remained untouched. I had one very vivid experience while riding a marshrutka, a minibus, in Gyumri. I was speaking English on the phone, and after I hung up, a woman tapped me on my back. I turned around, and she looked shocked. She introduced herself as Raya, and she said, you look very much like the daughter I lost in 1988 in the earthquake, and I myself was shocked. That moment marked the beginning of a relationship that goes far beyond friendship now. Raya has become my local mom, and I, in a way, have become her third replacement daughter. Since then, I've developed a deep awe and appreciation for Raya's resilience, her commitment to staying in Armenia despite all the tragedies she's seen, and her faith in God that remains despite the loss of her daughter. That first year for me in Armenia in 2018 was formative in so many ways. Besides meeting Raya, I had the great privilege of volunteering with children with special needs in Gyumri and playing a part in the opening of Armenia's first bakery to employ people with disabilities. Establishing relationships with Gyumri's resilient people and witnessing the potential of the city to grow and develop inspired me to decide to stay and to become a citizen in 2020. I felt called to make Armenia my permanent home, and instead of being discouraged by the challenges there, I am so excited about the ways that God can use me and you to be a part of the change in the country. There's a quote that I love that captures the concept of calling in a simple but profound way. And the quote goes like this: "The place to which God calls you is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. In Armenia, I experienced the greatest joys of life, connection and purpose, but also very deep hunger, the hunger of people in need and those trying to make sense of loss and injustice. And it was precisely at this crossroads that I found my calling. That first year in Gyumri also taught me that every blessing we have is truly a gift. I never fully understood what blessing meant until I moved to Armenia, especially the blessing of peace. I didn't know what I truly had in America until I experienced living without heat in the cold Gyumri winter, seeing my neighbors go to war, and witnessing the living conditions of many people around me. Our comforts can be taken away at any time, as Armenians as a people have learned all too well, from the genocide to the earthquake to the loss of Artsakh and the displacement of the Artsakhtsis in 2023. You saw it here in Tampa yourselves with the hurricanes. Everything can go in a flash. These experiences remind us to put our hope and our trust in the only foundation that won't collapse, Jesus Christ. Living in Armenia has also taught me that we are called to use our blessings to bless others. For over 3 years now, I've had the great privilege of working at Fund for Armenian Relief, an organization that our own Eastern Diocese here in America founded in response to the earthquake to deliver humanitarian aid to those in need. And over the years, FAR has evolved from providing emergency relief to sustainable programs that empower Armenians from birth to death through healthcare, education, and economic development initiatives. As Father Hovnan said, I manage our IO program, which means yes, of course, in Armenian. And these programs break down FAR's bigger programs into smaller initiatives and projects that are more accessible for every man donors, we like to say. We even have a donor who contributes $2 a month, and I love that because he's grasped the philosophy that we believe in that says when we pool our resources together, we can make an impact in Armenia. Over the past 11 years, we've been able to complete 85 small budget but big impact projects all over Armenia, from installing solar panel powered heating in regional medical clinics close to the border with Azerbaijan, to providing small grants for wounded veterans so they can start their own businesses, to purchasing a car so that kids with special needs can access therapy. We are blessed with so many incredible supporters all over the diocese, but today I want to tell you about one special woman, a close friend, who supports our programs. Her name is Anahit. At 18 years old, Anahit was working in a factory in Spitak when the earthquake happened in 1988. She was pinned under the rubble for 17 hours until her brother found her. She went into cardiac arrest twice in Armenia, and her sister was able to somehow pull strings to get her onto a plane to Russia, where she received the medical care that saved her life. She wouldn't have made it if she hadn't gotten to Russia. Now she lives in Michigan, and Anahit celebrates her life every day in a completely different way than she did before because of the experiences she had and the second chance that God gave her. Not only did she survive, she is thriving today as the mother of three boys, all of whom serve at St. John's in Detroit in the church. And last year, her youngest son, Arin, donated his 8th birthday to help us buy and send asthma medication to children under blockade in Artsakh. So this concept of donating your birthday means that Arin, as a 7-year-old, decided that he was going to ask the adults and his friends, of course, his peers and his network, to donate to this campaign to send medicine to Artsakh in lieu of giving him gifts. And the newly minted 8-year-old raised $6,000. And I share this story to say that those who supported Anahit, who invested in her and believed in her and worked to save her life, created a ripple effect through her. We are called as Christians to radical love and radical generosity. My favorite Bible verse of all is John 13:35, and it says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Love is a word that we overuse, but the love this Bible verse is talking about is a shocking kind of love. Jesus expounds on it in Luke 6. He says, "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you." That's a tall order. It means not only pulling your sister from the rubble, like Anahit's brother did, but also your enemies. It reminds me of the Armenian rescue team that went to eastern Turkey after the earthquake in 2023. That team rescued 3 Turkish citizens from the rubble. There was some pushback from Armenians because at that very time, Artsakh was under blockade. But I say, isn't that exactly the kind of love Jesus was talking about? To bless those who curse you, to pray for those who mistreat you. To conclude, some of you might ask, why does Armenia continue to suffer tragedy after tragedy? And I grapple with the same every day. I lived through the 2020 war in Armenia, the 2022 attack, the long blockade, and honestly, when September 2023 rolled around, I found myself bracing for the inevitable, praying that we wouldn't have another attack. And of course, the worst of all happened. We lost Artsakh, and all 100,000 of those Artsakhis were displaced from their homes. It's easy to shake your fist at God in that moment, but I have to say, if we as Christians truly believe that God is all-loving and all-knowing, we must also believe that he is working all things for our good and his glory. So I want to close by sharing a beautiful analogy that I hope will resonate with all of us as Armenians. If you've been to the Vernissage market in Yerevan, you've probably seen the rugs and the carpets hanging there. But have you ever looked at the back of a carpet? It's often chaotic, with threads going every which way, and there seems to be no pattern. But when you turn the carpet over, a beautiful, intricate design emerges. So often in life, as mortals, as humans, we see only the chaotic back of the rug. It doesn't make sense, and we wonder if there's any plan to it at all. But that's the mystery of our faith. If we believe that God loves us, we have to trust that he is the master weaver, and that the result of his handiwork will be a picture more beautiful than we could have imagined. And he uses each of us as his people, as the threads in that tapestry. We can think of one beautiful example from the Bible that illustrates this. Jesus' death on the cross, which was a profound, complicated tragedy that his disciples didn't even understand, led to the ultimate good, which was our salvation. So this Advent season, I encourage you to remember the immense blessings you have, the food on your table, the health you have, the peace, and to give out of those blessings with joy. And to remember that in the midst of whatever may come our way, God is the only firm foundation. Just one final note, as Father Hovnan said, if you want to be Santa for a child displaced from Artsakh, during the fellowship hour, you will have the chance to do that. You can approach me, I'm the girl in the yellow shirt. We're gonna be buying bikes and Christmas trees for children who are displaced from Artsakh, and you'll have a chance to participate in that. Thank you so much for your attention.